Well, praise the Lord that we can be here together like this again and just sing and see what God has. And just the children got encouraged this morning, and I think we all did. It's a blessing to be here again. And let's come to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful that we can call you our Father truly, Lord, and that we would be faithful is our prayer, Lord. We ask that you grant us more of your grace. We think this morning of those who are far away in your service. Lord, we pray for Brother David and for Brian, too, down there in Brazil. Lord, we ask that you would give them special wisdom and understanding. And the ones down there that wanted them to come, we pray that they would hear and understand. Lord, this morning as we open the Bible here, that we might understand too, and that we'd all be faithful around the world, wherever your children are, Lord, just give them your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Open your Bibles to Luke 16. I'd like to think about, there's a few verses here. Let's start with Luke 16, verse 16, and read just a few verses here to start. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. I know we're stopping kind of in the middle of a story there, but I just mainly wanted to focus on the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Those next few verses just gave a couple of examples of the kingdom of God, and that's why I read them too. It seems like lately there's been an emphasis on trying to teach the kingdom of God here and there that we've seen. The kingdom of God, and there's whole sermons and articles on the kingdom of God popping up lately. And it's interesting to read and to think about the kingdom of God and all the various aspects of what this kingdom is like and everything, but I see so much missing the heart of the matter for us. There is a kingdom, and it's true. Jesus is the king, and we're his subjects if we're faithful to him. And his kingdom has laws, just like kingdoms do. You know, and there's boundaries, you know, to what makes up the kingdom of God and what's not part of the kingdom of God. It's interesting. It's a blessing to think about that. But anyway, God has given his grace to us, his teachings. He teaches us how we can be part of this kingdom. And that's especially what I'd like to think about. Like the verse we read, verse 18, is part of how you become a part of his kingdom. God hates putting away your wife and marrying somebody else. And it's just wrong. That is adultery. God hates it. And he thankfully has told us what he likes and what he doesn't like. What a blessing that he's given us this grace. And 19. Certain rich man and the beggar and the whole story. Jesus taught how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven. He's told us, given us these laws. He's told us that his children are loving and kind, even to those who don't like them. We're supposed to love. If we want to be children of His, we're supposed to love and not just be this loving person, but also to those who hate you, to those who would like to spit on you or not even see you around. We're told to be merciful and lend and to give, not even hoping to get anything back, you know. See that? Even the world can see that it's a good thing to be kind to those around you, to loan if you're asked to loan something. But when there's a line that they won't cross, you know. But Jesus teaches us to give and lend, hoping for nothing again. That's different. That is often seen as a weakness, and you'll never get to be a hero in people's eyes if you act like that. That's just ridiculous. You know, that's the thought in this world, in the other kingdom. And then, like Jesus taught, to go the second mile. When someone says, "Carry my pack," Jesus said, "Carry it 2 miles." When they ask you to wash the dishes, dry them too. That's the concept of a child of God. If you want to be a part of the kingdom, that's the kind of mindset that you need to get. That's what we each of us need to strive for. It's that kind of understanding. Jesus tried hard to help us to see that in a lot of His teachings. When someone slaps you, of course, don't hit them back. What did He say? Turn the other cheek. Not even just quickly run off and hide, but turn the other cheek. Just stay there and turn. Let them hit you again. That's, again, completely different thought. And this is what pleases God. And thankfully, He sent Jesus to teach us what pleases Him. And this is what makes you a child of God. Not some other way that you might devise to climb up some other way to be a child of God. There are people who try to climb up some other way and become children of God. But what did Jesus call them? Yeah, or a thief and a robber. I was thinking of that one parable, but yes. Amen. These teachings, if you think about it, are so revolutionary that Jesus likened it to someone who's born a second time. Born first naturally, born the second time into the kingdom of heaven. It's so different from the way this world is. So try to understand what makes God happy, what God is like, and what He says makes us children of God. Like Matthew 5:44, if you want to turn there, you can. Think about God and what He's like and what He's asking us to be like. Matthew 5:44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same?" See, that's the way the world is. They'll love those who love them. But if you want to be the children of God, love those who hate you even. Of course you love those who love you, but you love all. You love the good. You love the evil. You be kind and gentle to all men. Especially those of the household of faith, but to all, the good and the unjust. Like God, you know, God sends the sunshine, He sends the rain, He sends us a fresh breath of air just anytime we want it. He's so good to us. He just gives us, you know, He sent the rain just a few inches last night. What a blessing after a dry summer. He's good to all, and He didn't just pick out the farms of the righteous people to send that rain on. He sent rain to those who curse God. He sent rain to those who are completely disobedient and hating God. He sent them rain last night. and sunshine and cool, a beautiful cool morning this morning to them and to all. That's what God is like. So if you want to be like God, that's what you need to be like. That's what I need to be like, is to give and be kind to all. And by the way, if you don't have any enemies, and no one doesn't even, everyone likes you, then there's a problem too. You must not be in the battle. I must not be in the battle if no one even has any problem with me and all men are speaking well of me. Jesus said, look out, watch out. So, anyway, that was an inspiration. And by the way, the last verse I missed in chapter 5, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You want to be a child of God? Be perfect. Love your enemies. Don't just love those who are good to you. That, I don't know how to say it a lot clearer, but anyway, Jesus goes down through a whole list of things here in Matthew 5. That we, I guess, already talked about. But if, just highlight a couple more, jump up to verse 40. If anybody sues you and takes away your coat, give him your cloak too. See that? Don't just give him your coat. Compels you to go a mile, go too. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. So, anyway, be perfect as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Be like him. So the children of the kingdom give and give and give to all, the thankful and to those who never say thank you. They forgive and just they say, it's okay, don't worry about it. Not just 7 times, but till 70 times 7. And I know this is hard. The apostles thought it was hard too. Peter, didn't he say, do I have to forgive him 7 times? Jesus, what did Jesus say? Oh, yes. Yes. 7 times. Like in one day? Yes. Not only 7. 70 times 7. Just, that's the way God is. Jesus was, he came to teach us how God is. That these children of the kingdom loan stuff out when someone needs it, even if it never comes back. And to our old mindset, it would seem, well, that's not fair. But what did Jesus say about loaning something? Not even hoping for it back. Like, just, if you loan someone, give it. In your mind, give it. Not even hoping for it back. That's easier said than done. Even Jesus came not to minister, but to, not to be ministered unto, sorry, but to minister. So are all who follow Jesus. They be like Jesus. You know, if we are part of a church, if we moved here to Monette or whatever, to just to get filled and just to get encouraged and get blessed ourselves, and just came here this morning just to for our own benefit, you see, that's opposite of the way Jesus is. That's the way we need to think each day. Whatever happens, and that just helps us, our attitude, so much. If we're here to share with others and to give to them and to encourage them and to help them, and we're continually thinking about the needs of others, that helps our attitude so much. Because when someone forgets about us or didn't talk to us or something and seemed maybe to avoid us, we really don't even think of it, because we weren't even thinking of that to begin with. We came to encourage them, and so we're busy going to visit to the one who's off in a corner, doesn't have anyone to talk to. You know, and we don't have time to even think about how, and imagine stuff, you know, about how we were slighted or mistreated. Each day in daily life, you know, living this way is what pleases God. And that's how we become a part of this kingdom. What I'm thinking of here and trying to understand is how to become a true part of this kingdom, it's a lofty concept. But to put it into shoe leather and to really be a part of it is different from just studying about it. And, you know, in fact, you could even listen to all this and get your theology straight, but it doesn't matter it doesn't even help you. In fact, it makes you worse if you don't go out then and live it, live Jesus' teachings. So it's a one-way street. It's better not to even, I guess, hear Jesus' teachings if you only hear them and don't do them. So let's look about how we can enter this kingdom and what it takes to do this, to be a follower of Jesus, like we were just talking about. While we're here in Matthew, let's go over to chapter 11 and look a little bit here. Let's read 12 and 13. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. John the Baptist, Elias, it talked about in the last few verses of Malachi, there at the end of the very last chapter of the Old Testament. There it says, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That was John the Baptist, if you can receive it. That was him who came. And he brought an end to the Old Testament. And since that time, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, the violent take it by force. So if you want this kingdom, if you want to be a part of Jesus' kingdom, it's not going to come easy. It's not going to come just automatically. But you're going to have to be violent. In other words, you're going to have to struggle to get into it. It's not going to just happen without you thinking about it. It won't happen in your sleep. You'll have to really try to put these things into practice. So if you're seeing things new, you need to at least talk about them. And then you need to put them into practice, and others might just reject you. They might just think you're crazy. They might think you're just really off the deep end. But I suspect that most of Jesus' followers are going to be thought of that way sometime or other in their life. So just accept it and just thank God for that. And just, if your family rejects you, then go for solace, if you need it, to the Word of God and read what Jesus said might happen to His followers. You might find something there about who your family will be, who your mother and sisters and brothers will be. But thank God if you have godly parents too. That's a blessing. And most people don't have that. So, obey your parents, children. Now, looking at Luke 16 again, where we were before. This is the same teaching of Jesus, just in a different gospel. We read it before, but did you notice at the end of verse 16, since that time the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth into it? Does that mean everybody in the world is trying to be part of the kingdom of heaven? Every man? No. It means every man that's trying to be a part of this kingdom is pressing into it. Not coasting into it. Not just floating down the river on your canoe into the kingdom of heaven. But paddling upstream. Working hard. Pressing into this kingdom. That's the only way you'll get in, is if you press into it. So that's how it happens, just for your information. It doesn't just happen easily. You need to be faithful each and every day, and thank God for the adrenaline and the newness and freshness at the beginning. It's a blessing, and it helps you to overcome hurdles when you start following Him. Thank Him for that. But there also is a time when it's no longer so exciting. And it's just then that the men are separated from the boys. To say it like maybe Jesus would have said it, that separates the true followers of God from those who will never make it. Another verse says, Jesus said, many, many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. So He said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. The difference between the men and the boys, between the strivers and the seekers, is that they strive and they press into it and they're violent. They have to have this kingdom or else they'll die. That's how they see it. So they don't just sit back and relax and coast. And I'm preaching this sermon as much for my own benefit as anybody. This is how it's done. And it's encouraging just to look at this straight from our King and how He taught when He was here as a man, putting it in our language for us. He told us how it would be. So it's that way. It's that way today, 2012, October. So we need to get up and try hard. Each of us know what's before us in our lives and what we have a battle with and what's hard for us. So whatever it is, embrace it. Be strong. We're not here to play, to dream, to drift. Be strong. We have hard work to do and loads to lift, that song goes. That's the picture, a little picture of the kingdom of heaven. So that's how the kingdom is entered. It's by faithful, loyal soldiers. I appreciated a verse that Brother Anter, Brent brought up to us, Brent Anter, when we were there to visit them. He talked about the verse, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So that's where it starts. Another verse in the New Testament that says the same thing. It's bringing every thought into captivity, you know, to please Jesus. Guard your heart, guard your thoughts. That's where it starts. And it's battlefield. That's where the battle is won or lost, is in your mind and in your heart. So that's why so much emphasis needs to be given to how you think and to what's in your heart and what makes you excited. Guard it. And take practical steps to crucify the wrong kind of thoughts and desires when you see them cropping up from time to time. Whatever it is. Just one little example, and it's not a very good one probably, but just yesterday I was thinking, as I was working, maybe I shouldn't have got this nice Chevy van that I liked. Maybe I should have got a Ford because I don't like them as well. You know, or a Dodge because the tails stick out the back end so far. Maybe I should have got that because I do not want my heart to be in the things of earth. And that might actually help me. Not to let my affections get set there on these little things of earth. They can just become way too important, the little things, like the worldliness that we all know that we struggle with sometimes. Yeah, people might say, well, that's ridiculous. You wouldn't need to do that. But hey, what about, it's okay. Don't condemn people for striving to enter the kingdom, even if they do things that you think is not necessary. Right? bless them, encourage them. So each of us have little areas that we're trying hard in and that we want to do to please our Lord and that we're guarding our heart by doing. Bless the others in doing that. Encourage them. And don't just get all you know, the tendency is to just get, well, why do they need to do that, you know? And we start feeling maybe a little convicted, but we say, oh, well, that's just way too far and beyond what the Bible asks us to do. That's just, you know, and then Satan starts bringing little splinters in and we start struggling and just not liking each other. And just, have you ever experienced anything like that? Guard your heart with all diligence and bring every thought into captivity and decide that I am going to pray for that person and bless them and encourage them in doing all that they can do, and that what they've seen will help them. And because this is how the kingdom of God is too. We love each other. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples and that ye have love one to another. This doesn't just happen either. Just look at the worldly churches all around us. There's the Baptist Church, the First Baptist Church, the New Site Baptist Church, the all kinds of Baptist churches, or Catholic, or whatever you're talking about. They do splinter into all kinds of pieces. You know, the Mennonites, whatever. These things happen because of the carnal nature, just allowed to run unchecked. Thoughts not brought into the captivity of Christ. And we also will be and are, but will be tested in this exact same way. As the church grows bigger, as more people come, you don't just aren't able to talk with all the people at each service or throughout the week. You just, some people you hardly talk to for a whole week or whatever, 2 weeks at a time maybe. And it's the carnal nature to allow cases to be built or think, you know, just, you know how it works. Just, we will be tested. We need to love each other. And if we have the mind of Christ, like we were talking about how Christ, how God wants us to be, where we love not only our brother, not only those who love us, but we love the unthankful, the unholy, those who hate us, that'll all become so much easier to love our brothers. Right? Because we're not here thinking about ourselves and how, what our status is and how everyone thinks of me. But we're here to minister like Christ. We're here to give and to bless others. And that just helps tremendously. It just changes. It makes all the difference. If we start in the heart and live like pleases the Lord. And it's so simple, but it's so hard. So that's what we want to be, is channels of God's grace to others. Not just the church, a channel of God's grace to me. But we want to be the church, channels of God's grace to this world, teaching His teachings. Till how long? I'm sure God would say to us like He did Isaiah, till there's no more Monat, till there's no more people anywhere, till there's no more Springfield, or till there's no more people to talk to. That's how long we teach Christ's teachings, and we baptize, and we encourage people to be faithful. That's what we're here for. And it's time for us to step up and take our place in the kingdom. It's now or never. We think about opportunities. It's only for now. We won't always have this opportunity. So we can think, well, someday in the future, I will be the man God wants me to be someday. I sure will. I'm just gonna get everything well taken care of around myself and get my nest real nice here and cozy. But someday I sure will be a man of God. I'm going to surprise everybody. Isn't that just so carnal? Just so wrong. Easy to see. But so often how we think. Maybe I'm telling on myself, but anyway, we need to be faithful now and rise up now, because we may not have tomorrow. And the things that we're thinking of may not always be. We may not always have what we have now. That's what makes an opportunity. It's something that you have right now, and it's up to you. And opportunities don't last forever. That's pretty much all I had this morning. Is there some thoughts you might have to add to that, or just something else you thought of? Yes, amen. And going the second mile. It's such a cliche, but it's so true. Going beyond what we would have to. That's what makes a child of God. And children start young practicing that. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
And you probably need to shoot then, because you'd be going down the road swinging and being aggravated, and you can aggravate it because maybe things will put that up. You probably need it because you can have a, you can maybe think things you wouldn't think the other way.
Yeah, I understand.
You probably need it. I don't.
Yeah, not everyone's that weak. They don't need that. Praise the Lord. Yeah, because that's what it can disintegrate into. Right. Sorry, I interrupted. I've just seen it in the past, real clear, disintegrate. Well,
that's what Jesus meant when he said, "Don't judge." Uh-huh. I mean, if that is the whole point. If someone goes, and even though they'd like to shed a band, and they really, really think it fits, but they feel too weak, like they'd be falling into temptation, so they go and get the ugly dodge, what they think is ugly dodge in their mind. That same person can't be judging somebody else who gets the cheddar band that they like, you know, or gets something else. And vice versa with everybody else, you have to let your brother go through those things that the scripture doesn't say. One way or the other. I mean, someone can live on 10 acres and someone can live on 60. And if the one on 10 acres thinks, well, I could never live on 60 acres because I'd be too sensitive to sin and God, then they should not live on 60 acres.
Right. Oh, but let's just make a church rule. That way everyone will be
only,
right.
Only 10 acres. That's only a decision. But that's judgment. That's the exact sin. Jesus wasn't saying, you know, don't go tell someone they're in adultery. Because that's judgment. That's not what he was saying, though. He was saying, don't make a rule that they can have 10 acres. Or that they should discipline their children this way. Because you think that they should do it your way. Or whatever that's what he was talking about as far as that, you know.
Well, praise the Lord. It's a blessing. Just to let each person work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. So, anything else? Or any announcements or thing you'd like to share before we leave? Amen. Right. Amen. Yes. That is true too. We need to be transparent, like Jason said there. And allow others to see into our lives and to help us and speak to us. I guess I come from the background where it's all nailed down and all decided, predetermined 50 years before you were born exactly how you're going to live. And it, you know, so that's why I can see clearly, let everyone work out their own salvation. But if you're coming from a from a path where nobody said anything to you and left you do whatever and just walk into hell, be it sitting on the church pew. That's a different background. And if you're coming from that background, let others tell you what to do. Be a servant of all, you know, and not think that you're more important than others. So, amen. I guess we won't meet together here tonight because Brother David's not here, and neither are quite a few others. But has anyone heard from Brother David yet, or Brian in Brazil? No. Marcus has had a good time yesterday at the wedding there of his brother. Had a good visit with a few people about salvation and different things. So praise the Lord for that.
Robert called too.
Okay.
He's expecting him to come this weekend.
Okay. Good. Has anyone talked with Kevin just to see since they've left? I guess they were planning to visit Peter and Paula there in North Carolina. So, anyway. Maybe Burton's too. I'm not sure.
No, it was not. Afternoon.
Okay.
Peter and Paul's house last night, I think.
Okay.
Then on the way up to Pennsylvania, there's a bird.
Let's see. Walter, do you want to tell a little about our trip up to visit the Antlers?
Next day we went from Chicago
Please see myself. He can have to go and schedule the tickets and everything. I'm going to have a phone. I guess the first one is home done to get Ryan's visa. Well, we're just going to have a sign. I'm not sure what happened. I didn't ask what happened. We've got to do that. We go around looking for a place to park. We see one of the D-pass already, I guess. And we go around for, 15 minutes, and it's all there. We've got papers still. Went back and picked them up, and then went to the parking lot.
Yeah, that was a blessing, I thought, to be able to have the opportunity at least for an hour or two to preach there in Chicago, just with lots and lots of people walking back and forth, and talked to a few people. One was a black minister that came up right at the beginning and was planning to go to Moody Bible Institute in January, so we talked to him for a while. And then another lady that had questions about her life, marriage, and divorce, and remarriage. She listened too. So anyway. That first time there, we did. There was a security officer that came by and had questions about loving your enemies and how could you ever do that. Yeah. And David got to talk to him for a few minutes. He said, "Thank you for your information." And then he walked off. So, anyway, it's a blessing. Right downtown Chicago, glass and steel everywhere. David said it looked like Hong Kong. So, there. Anyway. Okay, well, I guess you're dismissed. Lord bless you.